The Justice Department goes after Walmart for its alleged role in fueling the opioid crisis.
What I think it is emblematic of for sure is that governments broadly, but especially the federal government, are being as aggressive as they can be about finding anyone with culpability in this crisis.
We'll have more on the allegations and Walmart's response, and why airlines are planning to bring back workers who were let go in the fall. Plus, how empty hotels are getting a second life. It's Tuesday, December 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Airlines are among the big businesses that will benefit from the new coronavirus relief package. The $900 billion bill includes $15 billion for airlines to pay their workers through March. We report that several are now planning to call back tens of thousands of workers they let go in October. Many travel executives are betting on pent-up demand to boost airline sales next summer, but it's unclear how long the employees airlines are calling back will stay on the payroll. President-elect Joe Biden says the new coronavirus relief package is a vital first step in addressing the pandemic, but that there's more work to do. Speaking from Wilmington, Delaware, he urged Americans to stay vigilant this holiday season by avoiding large gatherings and staying apart.
And here's the simple truth. Our darkest days in the battle against COVID are ahead of us, not behind us. So we need to prepare ourselves to steel our spines. As frustrating as it is to hear, it's going to take patience, persistence, and determination to beat this virus.
Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showed that COVID-19 is set to become the nation's third leading cause of death in 2020, and that U.S. life expectancy could decline by the largest amount since World War II. As the Biden administration prepares to take office, California's Secretary of State Alex Padilla has been tapped to fill the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Padilla is the state's first ever Latino senator. He's expected to take the seat when Harris takes higher office on January 20th. And U.S. home sales fell in November after 5 months of gains. The National Association of Realtors says existing home sales fell 2.5% and property supplies fell to a new low. Separately, consumer confidence fell this month as coronavirus cases rose across the country and local governments imposed new restrictions. The federal government's gone after drug companies for their alleged role in the opioid crisis. Coming up after the break, why the latest lawsuit is focusing on Walmart. Retail giant Walmart is under fire for its alleged role in fueling the nation's opioid crisis. The Justice Department has sued the company, alleging it created a system that turned its 5,000 in-store pharmacies into leading suppliers of highly addictive painkillers. The suit comes after Walmart preemptively sued the federal government in October to fight the expected allegations. Joining me now to talk more about this is Washington Business reporter Tim Pucco. Hi, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you.
So tell us, what specifically is alleged in this lawsuit against Walmart?
The U.S. government is listing Walmart among a relatively long list of companies now that have some role in the opioid crisis. What the Justice Department is saying is that through the system that Walmart created at its pharmacies, it created an environment where doctors and drug abusers could prey on its pharmacies and have invalid opioid prescriptions by the thousands filled at Walmart pharmacies.
Now, there were also some allegations within that lawsuit from Walmart pharmacists that the company ignored their warnings. And the suit also alleges that it was difficult for them to reject prescriptions they found problematic. Can you talk a little bit about how that system worked?
The government's lawsuit portrays a company in which, you know, pharmacists were under an extreme amount of stress, confronted by demands from their own managers to work faster and from a deadly crisis that was unfolding, you know, right in front of them. Walmart, of course, it's famous for low prices and bulk sales, and just as a matter of course, wanted its pharmacies to get out low-cost drugs at a relatively fast clip, fill the prescription fast, and according to the allegations of the lawsuit, the Walmart managers believed it would keep customers in the store and shopping. And so, you know, that was a matter of course for these pharmacists. When you add opioids into the mix, then it becomes a lot more dangerous. A lot of these doctors could see suspicious prescriptions, the same doctors coming back over and over again, over-prescribing patients. They sought help from compliance managers at the company to do things like just do an en masse rejection of prescriptions from doctors like this. And they were told time and again, no, you cannot do blanket rejections. You have to do them only on a case-by-case basis. And because of their other pressures to get these prescriptions out, to get prescriptions broadly out very quickly, in the end, pharmacists felt like they didn't have the time to scrutinize each of these prescriptions and ultimately had to end up fulfilling a lot of prescriptions that they believe were invalid to begin with.
Now, Walmart had been expecting this lawsuit. The company actually preemptively sued the Justice Department. Can you tell us more about that suit and what Walmart is saying now?
There's been a broad and at times very aggressive conflict between the federal government and other governments around the country with different major corporations that are alleged to play a role in fueling this crisis. Walmart has taken an aggressive stance in trying to fight allegations before they came. The company filed a lawsuit in October that said Department of Justice investigators had been looking into the company and had been informing the company of all these pending allegations, and their lawsuit was a preemptive strike against that. They've said that, in their opinion, the Department of Justice and also the DEA had basically been trying to scapegoat Walmart for the government's own regulatory failings. And they'd said that, for example, many of the doctors that the Department of Justice said Walmart should have been keeping an eye on are still registered and active with the DEA. And so in Walmart's opinion, if the government couldn't stop these doctors from making prescriptions, it's not really fair for it to expect Walmart to stop it. According to Walmart's claims in its own lawsuit, they followed the law to the best of their ability.
And Walmart today reiterated many of those same points and added that the lawsuit, quote, is riddled with factual inaccuracies and cherry-picked documents taken out of context. Tim, we've seen several drug makers charged for their role in the opioid crisis, as well as some settlements. Is Walmart's lawsuit indicative of a widening of the investigation into the opioid crisis? And who else might bear responsibility?
I hate to speculate on other companies that are going to be charged, but what I think it is emblematic of for sure is that governments broadly, but especially the federal government, are being as aggressive as they can be about finding anyone with culpability in this crisis. President Trump, back in 2018, directed then Attorney General Jeff Sessions to go out and file a major lawsuit. He was talking then more specifically about the drug makers. But yes, what we've seen since then is a whole litany of lawsuits against not just the drug makers, but distributors and now retailers as well. One other facet to note in this case is that for a time, Walmart was not just a retailer and the pharmacy for many customers, but it was also a distributor. Walmart is the world's largest retailer and has a huge network, 5,000 in-store pharmacies in all, not just at Walmart's, but at Sam's Club too. And its reach throughout American society goes incredibly far. So what you see the government here is finding another major player is one of the biggest targets it could possibly come across and going after it as aggressively as it has gone against the drug makers, too.
That's Wall Street Journal Washington business reporter Tim Pucco. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, we've seen how the pandemic has been causing turmoil in the hospitality sector. Lots of hotels and motels are now sitting empty from a lack of guests. But some investors see those vacant rooms as an opportunity and are now buying up these properties at bargain prices and converting them into affordable rental apartments. Now, these aren't five-star hotels. Our commercial real estate reporter Conrad Poutier says they're typically older motels that have been shunned by big hotel brands.
Often these can be converted pretty easily. Typically what investors would do is they would add a bathroom to the room, and then you essentially turn a hotel room into a studio apartment. Sometimes they'd knock down a wall between two rooms. Often there are already doors between rooms in motels so that rooms can be converted to two bedrooms. And that's essentially all that has to be done.
Conrad says these conversions address a pair of broader trends in real estate.
It speaks to the serious crisis that the hotel industry is in, but it also speaks to the severe housing shortage that we have in all these cities, right? That there are people who feel compelled to live in essentially tiny converted motel rooms because it's the only option of affordable housing.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.